Good evening. I call this October 1st, 2024 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bozeger. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission. My pleasure to welcome you here. It's a public meeting and you're encouraged to take part in the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed in an orderly meeting. I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to make a call or take a call, please step out of the chamber. If you wish to speak, raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes. We'll keep track of your time, you keep track of what you want to say. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is at both exits. I'll now ask for a roll call of members.
Bozeger?
Here.
Leska?
Here.
Pound?
Here.
Kading? Huber?
Here.
Radner? Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
And item number three, ask for approval of the minutes of the September 3rd, 2024 meeting.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by Boswell, seconded by Heinrich to accept the minutes as presented. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Item four, I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit renewal submitted by Sharp Image Mark Robeson, 1944 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Blair, Nebraska, for continued parking on Lot 2 and part of Lot 1, Pleasant Valley Subdivision in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 1944 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, for the life of the business. Jeff.
Good evening, commissioners. So your first consideration tonight is the Sharp Image, which is a detailing shop on South 30th, located in this area there. Current zoning district is ACH Highway Commercial. The last conditional use permit was in 2014. That was for extra parking on these two lots. In ACH 804 exceptions, car and detail shops are an exception, so they must be used with conditional use permit. Why this is separate from the other conditional use permit, I don't know, but it came up on as a renewal. So you're really just looking at these two lots, which he does not own, but he still uses the permission, which is why I guess why it's a separate CUP. Again, back in 2014, they did comply with stipulations. This is just continued. At this point, though, he wants to run this CUP for life of the business as it is, which would be the detailing shop. These are the two lots in play. This is Highway 30. This is the business there. Pleasant Valley Road up there. View of the building itself. View of the lots and building from Highway 30. Any questions for staff on this? We've got no complaints.
Can you go back to the original exceptions? I didn't quite understand what that was.
They wanted to forage fixes some millings, asphalt millings, rather than just a dirt gravel parking lot.
I remember that.
And it is paved that way too, so.
Is life of the business kind of normal, or is it normally part life of the building, or?
Well, in this case, we thought life of the business, because as we know, CUPs go with the land.
Yeah.
So if the business ever closed, it would still be attached to that building, and they're owned by two different people. So in this case, as long as he runs Sharp Image, he can use the parking lot through the CUP. And if he ever changes or if there's ever a difference in the ownership of the buildings, that's something they can work out. That was what we thought would be the best. You're free, of course, as a commission to change any time or any time stipulations, as long as they're not greater than what was advertised.
So the CUP belongs with the business. So if someone buys Sharper Image, it still stays with it.
Yes. Because it runs with the land, yes.
Yeah.
Unless those two lots sell and they want to do something else.
That's entirely up to them.
And Jeff, would it be your opinion then that if the business sold but was used for something different, that would end this CUP?
Yes, it would, because business disappears unless it's sold as another detailing shop.
Correct.
Yeah, which is why we chose to do it that way.
Any other questions of staff? Any comments from the floor? Does someone sharper earnings can talk unless you don't need to?
And I did talk with the owner last night. He asked me to, he's going to try to have somebody here, but he apologized for not being here. He's getting on a plane for Alaska in like 4 hours.
Okay.
So,
Seeing no comments from the floor, I'll close the public meeting and see what the commission would like to do.
I would move that we would consider or approve, rather, extending the CUP for the life of the business.
With the with the thing about staying with the business for life of the business. Yeah.
For the
as presented.
Business.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
So, motion made by Heinrich, second by Huber to approve this CUP. Any more discussion or amendments?
I have one question. Maybe this is for staff on this. Does this carry the stipulation of the asphalt millings? Is that stipulation still carry on this extension?
That was not in this extension, but you can certainly add that extension.
I would. What do we do if we already have a motion or a second?
You need
a motion to amend.
I would make a motion to amend adding the continued 4-inch thickness asphalt millings in the parking area.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Boswell, second by Pulaski to add the original stipulation to these. Ready for that? All in favor, please vote.
So we're in the favor of the amendment now.
Amen.
Yeah, this is just the amendment. Are we in favor of the amendment or not? Okay, do it again.
Got it again.
You want us to do it again?
Oh my gosh. I don't know why.
It says 4-inch this time, not the advanced
time.
We have not voted on the milling thing first.
The milling is up to a foot.
We're in trouble.
You want us to do it on the board, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Okay. What have we got?
All commission members present voting aye.
On the amendment? Is that the amendment?
Yes.
Oh.
So now we need to vote on the...
It looks like it went through both, and so the amendment passed, and then we were
voting on the other part the second time we did it. Okay.
Anyone not going to vote yay for the one with for the full thing with the amended? Because if you're fine, then that's the way it's recorded.
Okay.
All right.
So we're good with it passed. It'll go to the city council. Isn't that 3 weeks, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by James Nielsen, 17325 County Road 4, Herman, Nebraska, for a rental establishment with storage indoors and outdoors of the building, consisting of lawn and garden rentals, party and event rentals, and lighter duty construction equipment such as mini excavators, compact track loaders, and tree spades on tax lots 24 through 27, block 15, City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, together with that part of vacated State Street adjacent to the subject property, 1620 State Street, for 30 years. Jeff.
Thank you again. So this consideration is the former rental place on 1620 State Street, one block north of Washington Street, then off to the left a little bit. This part of town, Mr. Nielsen runs it as Buddy's Rentals. The current zoning is AML light industrial manufacturing, but there is a special mixed-use overlay that was put into that area a while ago. And this overlay allows businesses like Buddy's Rental, lumber yards, things that are already there, the meat market, to continue to operate within this AML district, which they would really not be part of. Under this over at the rental, CMP restricts, this CMP is one already on the property itself. It was, again, they run with the land. So there's one currently there, and I'll show you that in a little bit. But that was for indoor storage only. Of course, in ACH, which is one of the two areas in the special mixed use area, that anything that's allowed in a highway commercial or central business can be added to this special mix overlay as a condition is permitted. So you have your AML, you have your special mixed use. Mixed use allows any use involved in downtown business or highway commercial with the condition use permit, which is why they have started with the one earlier. The problem is Mr. Nielsen's requesting outdoor storage in addition to his indoor storage. So back in 5514, Ben Hansen took out the condition permit for 30 years. It was granted. His was, of course, for indoor storage only. Mr. Nielsen wants to store stuff outside and advertise outside, which is why he's required to start over and get a completely new permit. This one is still in force with the indoor storage, and this will be up to Commission and Council to decide if that's the right option. Again, this is the AML district in this area. This is the property we're talking about there. Without the overlays, you can see there's stuff out there already. Mary's Corner Retreat, Matheson, lighting. This is a special mixed-use overlays. So any building, any parcel within that special mixed-use overlays can have stuff added to it through the CUP process. This is a tighter shot of 1620 State Street. This is city right away. He's already been parking equipment out there. We did not know at the start. We did not know to change businesses. Usually when you take over a business, a like business, with the CUP, it's already attached, you do a transfer of conditions permit. We talked to him about it. He said, well, I want to do stuff outside. We informed him he had to start from scratch. This is some of the other views on State Street. This is at the West End, RT Masonry. Not sure he's probably supposed to have all that outside his fence. And at the East End, looking west on State, this Matheson grain, and I think this is one of the fiber optic special gear out there. This is the view of Buddy's Rentals that they're using. It does show construction equipment out there. Again, back as part of the highway commercial zoning, it does state under exception number 19, rental lease establishments, outdoor storage provided, there are no rental or lease establishments for construction equipment that is allowed. Now, the question that Mr. Green had for me today was, well, where is this allowed? Where could you have a rental place and have outdoor storage, outdoor equipment? And as of right now, there's really nothing that fits into that area in our zoning book. Obviously, again, we're probably a little bit behind on stuff. So the choice is really up to you and the council to decide whether or not this is a good place for it to fit, or part of it, because there's no real good answer that we can get from the zoning book. Any questions for staff?
Yes, sir. The equipment there, where do people park? Good question.
It is. And it is city right-of-way. Now, we have allowed other businesses to use city right-of-way for parking. The Court of Retreat has that. The RT Masonry, through the conditional use permit, does say they're allowed to have zero setback and use the city right-of-way for parking.
That's not parking, that's storage on city right-of-way. Just a question.
But didn't you say on the previous cup that once the business was sold, the cup goes away?
No, but it runs with this, CDPs run to the land or for the time. This case, the first one that came out in 2014, ran for 30 years.
Yeah.
So this would not be charged.
Oh, that's what.
Yes.
44
it's,
before.
It's the addition of the outdoor storage is why.
Exactly.
Okay, because this building sold about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah. But because of this, it was set up to run indoor storage only.
Has there been any complaints about the parking that the city's received?
Not that we've received. We've just noticed ourselves as a possible violation.
Well, I know there's parking off the alley, like you bring the...
It's a big, yeah, all that right. Back there. Maybe he could put the rental stuff, you would think, out back or have parking out back. That seems to be a fairly large area.
Aren't you required to have so much accessible parking as a business, like for your customers?
If it were a new business going up, yes. A lot of these businesses have been around long enough that they predated zoning. So if something would happen where they've remodeled or bring things up to code, then yes, they'd probably have to be brought up to code.
What would that code be? Like,
I'd have to measure the square footage of the building outside of storage. Let's say it's 200 square feet, you'll need one, at least one parking for 200 square feet of retail office space. That's just a quick guess. I'm trying to remember. Some places it's 300 square feet in one car. We do have a matrix that addresses that.
Sure.
But we do need, I would have to look at it. I don't like to say stuff off the top of my head.
And a lot of these businesses that are located kind of in the old downtown area don't meet almost any of the modern day standards that we would have. You know, you can tell there's not really hardly any setback, on the property. The ability to do off-street parking is very, very difficult because they were never designed that way. The lots themselves were never designed that way.
Again, somebody started over, they would have to follow all the current zoning and building regulations.
So I guess what you're saying is there's no requirement for parking for this building right now.
I would say that's probably correct. There is no, the CUP for RT Masonry did waive the off-street parking requirements. But as commissioners and the Planning Commission, just speaking for the people and for businesses and that, it's something you can certainly add.
Is RT Masonry someone who has customers come to that place and
That I do not know, but the conditional use permit did say
it's a storage unit for their stuff.
The conditional use permit did say waived off-street parking. So,
well, then half of this building is leased to somebody else. I know that. The east half of this building, where Nielsen's rent the west half. So,
yeah, and I still agree with the city administrator. I might just add a little bit that, these are the really tough, challenging ones that come along at times because the lots are abnormal. They're not kind of configured the way you'd have brand new development being done. There's obviously a need in certain places in town for a rental establishment. They're just very, very limited. I think you have every right as the Planning Commission kind of speaking on behalf of the citizens to simply say, well, you've got to have sufficient parking to be able to stop there. And so we don't want you to park in front. I don't think it looks good, to have equipment stored there. Again, they could have some of this equipment in the back area. So the fact that it's outside isn't necessarily bad. I don't like the fact that it's in the front yard, or it's actually in the city right away, specifically here. So I think you had every, legitimate reason if you want to make as part of your motion if you're in favor of it or to deny it for those reasons. one way or the other, but to just make it clear what your thoughts are on where some of that equipment should sit. We were pretty open with them when they were getting ready to apply that, you know, staff would probably come out against parking equipment in the front of the building. It uses up some of the limited parking that's available, plus I just don't think it was that great. But then again, it is kind of an industrial area. It's weird because it's an industrial area more in the downtown area.
In your opinion, how many stalls what a person might need, because there might be one or two people there checking something out.
Yeah.
If you've got stuff there, then you're parking in the street. I mean, I understand having stuff in front because it's going to be unloaded, loaded. It's easier than taking a trailer all the way through the back.
Yeah. You know, and the number of required parking stalls is usually based on the square footage of the area inside the building where you can have things stored. We run into challenges with that at times, especially more on the kind of quasi-commercial side, because you need a lot of space to be able to store larger equipment, but that means then you need more parking. And yet, realistically, do you need six or seven parking stalls all the time?
Maybe. Yeah, and that's my thing is, like, we're dealing with a limited amount of space. I would say if you had two or three parking spots for customers coming in,
mm-hmm.
and then I might be half, let's say, and the other half can be outside storage because, you know, and then the rest needs to go in the back. I mean, that's my two cents. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
So I got a question for you. Like, I can't really tell exactly what is in front of the building there, but I mean, it looks like some of it appears to be equipment, but then part of it appears to be non-mobile stuff. I mean,
And these photos were taken today in his application.
I mean, is it possible to stipulate like mobile equipment that way, in case the city would need there right away, like it can be easily moved versus having to coordinate like moving pallets or less mobile equipment?
So he talked about party and event rentals, lawn garden, lighter duty construction rental. I believe he also has trash cans and porta potties. Again, these photos were taken sometimes late afternoon, so it was there today. As you can see, you've got trash cans on this area here. You've got light duty construction.
But I mean, if you look from the aerial view, it looks like you have a, like some pallets and possibly a 3-point mower.
That could be old. That could be a year old.
Well, it could, but I mean, I don't know if you can stipulate like easily movable equipment or, I mean, it's.
I can answer that for you if you want me to.
That'd be great.
Yeah, what's on the other side? What's on the other side of the alley?
Residential.
It's all residential.
Yes.
So if you put stuff back there, then the residents are going to see the stuff in the back. Right.
Presumably, yes.
And a lot of times in those kind of things, we ask them to put up a barrier or something so that people don't see it. You know, like a fence or trees or something. If you put it in the back next to residential.
Right. That's alleyway though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing is, like, you're going to come in and out of there with trailers. That'd be tougher to get your stuff in and out of there.
Yeah, that's true. And it also looks like they're parking stuff, if the business is half the building, they're parking stuff in front of the other business, it looks like. The business needs back parking also.
And we'd be able to have to be talking about it, yes. And the times that I've been there, I've not seen stuff parked in front of that half of the building. Any other questions for staff before we turn?
Go ahead.
Do we have the owner here?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking to staff now, and then I'll have the owner come up. Any more questions of staff for now? We can always do something later. Okay. Yes, can the... you can come up and talk about what's going on.
Sure.
State your name, spell last name, and address.
James Nielsen, NIELSEN.
Address, please.
What's that?
Your address, please.
17325 County Road 4.
Okay. Yes, so you kind of heard some of the questions we've had.
You want good questions,
to cover some of them?
So, yeah, where the machines and stuff are parked, the stuff to the right, that's the other building that someone else leases. and they have access in the back. That's why we're trying not to clog all that up in the back. Plus the people that live back there, they get really mad when people block the alley for obvious reasons. So we try not to do trailer loading, offloading, etc. back there. We don't really have any customers that really come to the store very much. Most of it's done online, off the phone. They just show up, load stuff up, and go. I think we're responding to some of the questions you're asking.
So how does loading right now, if a customer comes in to pick up tobacco, where are they loading at? Are they in the street
then? They're going to Thiessen's lot over there. They don't seem to care or whatever. Or just one side of the street, load up and get them out of there. Or we don't actually prefer to deliver everything, so then we load it up ourselves. And yeah. But yeah, this is pretty full right there, but everything that's on wheels are sealer attachments, etc. And most of the sealer attachments we usually leave kind of where that trailer is on the side anymore because they're obviously paying the buck to move and stuff.
Any more questions? Oh, go ahead.
So within your lease, on the north side of the building, that open area, you don't have access to that then? Because there's bigger garage doors on that side that you can't see on the overhead.
Say that again.
The north side of the building, that open space, you guys don't have access to that then?
We do. There's a way to get around there, or else the alley. But the people, the long side of the building on would be the east side.
Right.
They also have a garage door back there. So we're trying to put too much stuff back there so they can get out.
Yeah, because Jay put up two new overheads.
Yeah, exactly.
When it moved in there. That's right. I just remembered that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your storage in the back would be pretty limited anyways.
Yeah, we piss a lot of people off with stuff, too much stuff back there.
So, yeah.
But
is that the typical amount of equipment that's sitting out front, or
not
is it?
Really. This is kind of when we started up in Maui. We kind of don't leave that much stuff sitting around out there anymore. I think they just had some pictures of the other day or something. There's only like two pieces of equipment out there, so. But yeah.
So what part of that back do you lease? What part is yours?
It's kind of a gray area. Basically, there's a garage door for the other people, and they kind of come in out there. So basically, they have to have access to that back part so they can get their stuff in and out. And yeah.
Also, just
gotcha.
Nice and easy.
Yeah.
Any more questions of the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any more comments from the audience?
My name is Ben Hoffschneider, Hoffschneider. NEIDER. My address is 15749 County Road 20, Blair. I have a building two doors down, just down the side of, to the left of the building. And I've just been a little frustrated with the sidewalk being blocked. I've heard a few people complain too. And it is, I'm glad for someone filling that building and giving us a service, but I just think that it's a little bit of a hazard right now with the sidewalk blocked and all the equipment in front and people trying to walk through there. If we're to abandon the sidewalk, that'd be okay, but if we have a functional sidewalk, I don't think it's a good solution.
So you're saying that people have to kind of walk out in the street to get around their equipment, is that what you're saying?
Yes. And a little bit with loading. Occasionally I have a truck to unload, or the person immediately to the west there has a truck there, but it's not real frequent. And their loading has been in the street a little bit more frequent. And I just think it should be a consideration that that's gonna be happening more frequently.
So I guess that's it.
Any questions from? Thank you. Are there any other comments from the floor? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I'd like to speak. I'm in opposition to granting this request. I think it's an overreach on the part of the owner of the building. He's trying to expand his business at our expense, and our expense being the city's expense, using that land, and our expense as residents of the community. Personally, I have a certain aesthetic bent, and I see this as inappropriate, even in an industrial area. When you take a look at the rest of the industrial area, this creates a visual impediment for the area. And I think that more than anything, I understand the problem with perhaps having this stuff in the back. I guess I would push it. You can't have it in the back, you can't have it in the front. You got to have someplace else where you're putting it. You may have to rent something else to do that, to expand your building. But I see this almost as more as advertising than I do a storage and an inappropriate way of advertising a building.
Any other comments?
I kind of agree with some of the things he says, but I don't have a problem putting a few things out front, but you can't block the sidewalk like that. I truly believe that. In Doug Cook fashion, gotta be a sidewalk. And you have to have the ability to go through there. If that's what it is, if you want to abandon the sidewalk, that's fine, but somebody has to be able to walk in there. I'm a big believer in being able to park. And I'm not saying there's going to be 200-300 people in there at a time, but maybe one or two. But you got to have a place to park. That's my own thoughts.
I would. I agree with that. I'm okay with the outdoor storage. I don't know if in the front is appropriate. Definitely not blocking the sidewalk. That's kind of. I understand there's. Could be difficulty in the back area of the store, but I don't know that out front all the time is the right place. Maybe you get it out there for when it's out to pick up, but not sitting overnight every night out there.
Basically as storage.
Yeah, using it as storage.
Does anyone want to make a motion?
I would make a motion to amend it to outdoor storage in the back of the building, but not in the front. So no storage in front of the building.
In other words, you want to recommend the CUP, but storage in back, not front.
Yes.
For 30 years?
30 years.
Second.
Who seconded it? Okay, there's been a motion by Boswell, seconded by Pileska to... approve this amount. Oh,
Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify. Do you want to say something about the sidewalk area?
Close to the building. No parking in the front. I think no storage in the front should cover sidewalk. Large sidewalk must be open.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know where they park, but you know, right. people just need to be trained to not pull up all the way to the building.
Yes.
Okay, so we've had a motion and seconded. Repeat your stipulation.
Stipulation would be no storage in the front of the building.
Okay, no storage in front of the building. We got that, Shelley?
Yes.
Is there any more amendments or discussion of this item? Please vote.
I
Commission members present voting aye. Boswell, Huber, Pounds, Bozegger, Heinrich, Pleska voting nay. Schroeder.
So if it passes, we'll go to the city council in 3 weeks.
October 22nd.
It's, oh, what is it?
October 22nd.
22nd. Okay, that makes sense. This is the first. Okay. Get your. Who actually follow me back? What's going on? Okay, I will order open a public hearing to consider a final plat application submitted by Highways 133 and 30 LLC, 1019 North 190th Street, Elkhorn, Nebraska, John Mabry, principal, for the Blair Crossing subdivision, lots 1, 2, and outlot A, being a replatting of part of Dutch Child Plaza, together with tax lots 138 and part of tax lots 132 and 444, all in section 23, Township 18 North, Range 11 East of the 6 p.m., Morrison County, Nebraska. Jeff.
Thank you. So with the Blair Crossing preliminary plat located several months ago, we now have come to the final application for Blair Crossing, located south of the roundabout. Final plat is part of the plans for this Blair Crossing, which will add 4 multi-family apartment buildings and a retail building to the Blair Crossing subdivision. This final plat, this is the final plat because the guts of all subdivision tax lots need to be enclosed in one subdivision, because there was a subdivision and there were separate tax lots. That's why this is a preliminary and a final as opposed to a replat. Plans for the subdivision do include the public street, Honeybee Lane, that accesses to access both U.S. Highway 30 on the west and Nebraska 133 on the east. Plans for a proposed retaining wall in the right-of-way have been eliminated. Again, looking south from the roundabout, this is the detention pond for outlot A. Work your way up the hill. This is the GIS map. This is the current Dutchaw and tax lots here. This will be the new entrances at this end and farther down. Current zoning map. This was changed to all ACH 2 meetings ago. This is the area we're talking about now. It will not change any zoning, it will remain ACH. Again, former tax lots and the extent of the land. This does go a little bit farther south. These are the Blair City limits. These are the water connections here. Sewer in the green, then up in this area will be stormwater management and stormwater drains. I believe it goes from this area here across into there. Here's the final plat. This shows it being 3 different lots. Tax lot A, which is the detention pond, which it will be attached to lot 1 to a Canadian special agreement. So none of these lots could ever be sold without somebody retaining ownership of that water drainage system. Will have to be maintained by whoever zoning the apartments at the time. And so it's outlot A, lot 1, lot 2. This is Honeybee Lane, especially farther down here, connected 133 and then Highway 30 that end. This is the full plat in here, it meets and bounds on the area here. This is the former right of way again. This shows just how far down it goes. There will be right of way attained to connect that end of that right of way to 133. And this is an idea of what things are going to look like. You've got the front of the apartments. This will be done in phases, I believe. That would be a question they could answer. And with that, any questions for staff on this final plat application?
So there was some discussion the last time this was brought to us about this retaining wall, and all of a sudden the retaining wall is gone. Can you fill me in on it?
Yes. While it's private property here, and really not part of this, there was a discussion that they did enter into an agreement to do some dirt work and reduce that area. Okay. So, right. And I think it was advantageous for both companies and both home or property owner to bring that down and not have to worry about retaining wall.
So I have a question. I don't know if it's, maybe this isn't the right place to ask it, but I've heard quite a bit of pushback about like sidewalks or getting to and from this. Can you fill us in on anything on that?
Well, right now, there's a lack of sidewalks everywhere. Within the interior, they're going to have their own sidewalks set up,
sure.
Their own streets, their own track set up. At a certain point, though, as this gets built up on one side or the other, the city will have to expand some sort of sidewalk area. Because even right now, let's try to get something out. I think our filthy, our sidewalks end way up.
Yeah,
there's nothing close there. Eventually, though, and I've heard a couple different ideas, maybe a tunnel, maybe an overpass or something as this gets built up. Eventually, the city of Blair is going to have to address the sidewalk issue up and down 133 and more like on Highway 30. Sure. At that point, there may be, trail system is. Yeah, we've got sidewalk here, we've got sidewalk there. This is the trail system along the road here. I would think eventually the property on Highway 30 side would be more developed for less, well, probably more conducive to having sidewalks and stuff up there. It will have to be addressed sooner or later, yes. But they do have plans on the interior. Now, you've got to play Frogger to get across, I understand.
Yeah, it's kind of sketchy right now.
Yeah, especially 30 apartments, how many kids will be there? There's going to be some type of pedestrian overpass or underpass or whatever you want to call it. But...
I'm glad everybody here is old enough to know what Frogger is.
Yeah. Anything else, staff?
No.
Okay.
Any questions for staff anymore?
Is the applicant here or? Okay. Would you like to? I don't know if there's any questions because we've kind of seen this before, but come on up and state your name and stuff.
Good evening.
What's up?
Good evening. Joe Zadia, Plant Pearson, 14710 West Dodge Road, ZADIMA. Here with the applicant, Kayla from Atonic. Yep, we're here. We'll be the next item too as far as the PUD. We were here in August with the preliminary plat and the rezone. So, a bit more detail, you know, this time around, a lot more information was submitted, traffic study and otherwise. So if there's any questions that I can answer from an engineering perspective, or a client can answer from a owner and developer standpoint, I'm happy to do that. So thank you.
Do you want to have some?
Well, it's not time now because, as he said, it will be addressed later, but there's got to be something for crossing highways. I don't know what you guys got.
Yes, so good question. So yes, so we have a traffic study that kind of considers the vehicle traffic, sir. And then we'll be working with the Department of Transportation on the improvements. So our right-of-ways will be wide enough to accommodate sidewalks. We'll probably have to plan for future grading of sidewalks along the shoulders of the highway. So I would imagine NDOT will require, as we grow into the turn lanes and the improvements on each highway, we'll be having to make those future considerations. And Honeybee Lane will have to be graded for future sidewalks. So we'll do the best we can. We'll do it not in a vacuum, we'll do it in conjunction with the state because those are their highways that will be accessed. But yes, absolutely, that is a consideration and certainly safety is paramount to our project, so.
Would you expect those highways? It's hard to imagine sidewalks along 133 because of the traffic on that thing, but it seemed like you'd have to go out went to 30 and stuff to get people across. But I guess that's in the future. We don't worry about that now.
Well, yeah. I guess as an engineer, I'm thinking perhaps some of those you see lately, those the evolution of a push button with the flashing lights that show pedestrian crossings, maybe something like that is an option. You know, we've got to reduce the speed on Highway 30. We talked about that last time. So maybe Highway 30 is maybe one of the right spots to look at, but this is not the end of it, right? That we haven't even really dove into the design of the highway improvements, but with all that, we will consider.
With the switch button, you can't even get a goddamn truck to stop going through town. You're following through. A bunch of dead kids out there.
I hope not.
I'm telling you, if you have a push button, you better have an overpass. A push button isn't going to happen.
There's, we can design it. We've got funding. I mean, yeah, well, certainly, I this is not a situation to make light of. I know that pedestrian safety is important, and we talked about this last with the grocery store down the street too, as well. So, yeah, I'm committed to talking with the city and the state as we move through those improvements, because internally we'll do the best we can, but to get across those highways, the state won't let us do anything without their approval. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but we've been in contact with them. We'll continue that dialogue.
Okay.
You had something to say, Phil?
Yeah, just a little. Referencing Aaron wants to bring the GIS back up again, if you could, real quick. Just the hard reality is this part of Blair, on the edge of Blair, just hasn't been designed at all for walkability. Pittock Street is up here a little bit farther north. We're going to slide down a little bit. You know, we've got a nice trail that comes down Highway 133, but it ends right here at Pittock Street. And so there is no trail that comes down here. There's no sidewalk. So even if, you know, Metonic and Blair Crossing was required to have some kind of a connection across the highway, it would be a connection to nowhere. There's just nothing there right now. I guarantee you the city wants to see some things happen out there, but it's going to be a longer term plan on trying to figure out what that is. And again, we don't know when this development occurs and what the final grading is going to be over here, whether there could be a lighted crossing here, and it very well could be an actual traffic signal. And so therefore, you still come down the hill. I know it's a truck and, you know, you're trying to slow them down. But there could be an at-grade crossing. There could be an overpass. There could be an underpass. That's been done several times in the Omaha, Sarpy County area. Where there's actually a tunnel that goes down underneath. So again, it depends on what final grade is in this particular area and what can be done. But we're committed to do something once development occurs broad enough that you can kind of really connect it in together.
Does the applicant wish to speak on this, or just do we have questions of the applicant? If you'd like to speak, go ahead.
I don't really have anything to say. I'm Kayla Beller, B-E-L-L-E-R, 12149 West Center Road. I'm just here for any questions if you have any.
Can you have some questions of her? Thank you, Ruth.
Yeah.
I look like there's no questions. Okay, is there anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Come on up. State your name and address, please.
Lisa Annable, A-N-I-V-A-L, 9332 State Highway 133. I realize this is probably a state issue based on what he just said, but I just wanted to know if there was any conversation about putting in a traffic light at the entrance of this crossing on 133. Entrance to my home is on the opposite side of the highway, and I just, coming from the Blair Crossing and turning north into Blair, it's kind of almost a hidden hill on 133. I turn on it from the opposite side every day, and so with 132 apartments there, I imagine the traffic will increase dramatically. And so again, not necessarily maybe a question for you all, but something to consider as we talk to the state in that area. Thank you.
Does staff want to speak on that issue? I think we've kind of talked about it. So.
Well, Joe, do you have any numbers as far as a warrant on what it would call for? Because my guess is the apartments, even though it's going to be more, isn't enough by itself.
Yeah. Correct. Phil said, so generally speaking, with the traffic study, it's all formally done through the MUTCD manual. It's the green book that all traffic engineers use. And it's all warrants. It counts. And so anytime you want to understand if the signals should be installed, is they'll put those little rumble strips that you drive over, and if the count warrants it, then the signal, it's kind of that easy, I guess. It's like if the counts warrant it, then the signal can be constructed. And so right now our AM peak, I have it on the back side here. AM peak hour, 46 vehicles entering, 73 trips exiting. Okay, that's the AM peak, and these are trip generations. And then for the PM peak, there'll be 88 trips entering and 59 trips exiting. And so those numbers, given a larger complex, may have warranted a signal, but at the moment they do not. Right now, what's being requested by the state is on Highway 133 is a northbound right turn lane. Okay. And then on Highway 30, it's a northbound right turn lane and then a southbound center turn lane. And that's the extent of it right now. Now, certainly with more traffic, as Mr. Green said, and other things, we may be generating traffic that does warrant signals at these intersections. They'll be restudied at that time. So at the moment, those are the improvements that are indicated in the traffic study and have been discussed with the state as of like to date. So.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Follow-up question. I have to say my name again.
No, just state your name.
Okay, Lisa Anvil, A-N-I-V-A-L, 9332 State Highway 133. I just was curious if like the grading of the 133 plays a part into the decision of the traffic light versus just the mere volume of the traffic, just because that hill is a little blind. And so I just didn't know what the law was, so I just had a question, follow-up question about that.
Thank you, Josina, with Lambert Earson. We wouldn't be changing the grade on our improvements. We're probably just, on Highway 133, we're just adding a turn lane so kind of shoulder. I suppose I can ask my traffic engineer about that. The grade generally kind of is going to be more along a speed sort of consideration, the geometry as well. And so I'm not sure that the grade would be a consideration in the signal. The signal is primarily a warranted based on counts, on traffic counts. Now, I'm not going to say that they shouldn't look into it or at least consider the concern of the resident. I just know that we're not going to change the grade on the highway. We're just going to kind of tack on a turn lane at the moment is what I'm looking at. But given the opportunity to talk to them, we can certainly ask them on her behalf or give them the person that we're talking to if they'd like to have that conversation with the state representative too from NDOT. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I would just add that I think Joe hit it on the head that it has probably more to do with speed than anything. So to me, once this kind of development occurs, we can then go back to the state, ask for an actual traffic count again to be done by them, and then petition them to maybe lower the speed limit a little bit. So as you know, it doesn't get down to 55, 60 miles an hour until you're right almost at that interchange, that driveway where the Mutual Omaha building is. I can easily see them push that maybe 500, 600, 700 feet up the street and lower it down to 45. So that would help a lot, with traffic in that area.
Anything else? Anything else from the audience? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do on this final plat.
I'll make a motion we approve it as presented.
Second.
You said?
I second.
Motion by Schroeder, second by Boswell to approve the final plat. Is there any further discussion or amendments? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that will also go on October 22nd City Council meeting. I'll open a public hearing to consider a rezone application submitted by the Metonic Real Estate Solutions, 12149 West Center Road of Omaha, Nebraska, for a PUD-1 General PUD District Overlay located on Blair Crossing Subdivision, lots 1 and 2, and Outlot A being a replatting of part of Gutshaw Plaza, together with tax lots 1 through 8 and part of tax lots 1 through 2 and 144, all in Section 23, Township 18, North Range 11 East of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska. Jeff.
Thank you. So your last item tonight is the PUD, the Planned Unit Development for the Blair Crossing. Again, we're talking about this area here, south of Roundabout. PUD has been requested to serve the Blair Crossing Arts and Retail Center. This is what a planned unit development is supposed to do, the intent being flexibility in regulations and land development and encourage innovation, the use, and everything else in this. to achieve economy efficiency, you also often do PUD too. So there's a lot of items in here that can be taken care of by a conditional use permit, such as multifamily in highway commercial, but that would drag it out to maybe 3, 4, 5 different items that we'd have to work on. A PUD basically takes all of that in consideration under one overlying or overlaying district. You know, the main areas of change though in this with this PUD in the ACH is basically going to be allowing for multifamily dwellings, which requires a CUP. There's going to be relaxed signage on the interior of the Blair Crossing. They'll have a couple signs out on the highway. That's not only subject to our rules, but also NDOT and their highway signage. Also have a bit of a more of a relaxed parking issue. Right now it's 2 cars per unit. This will be what they've come down to, 1.7 cars per unit for the entire area. They've done a lot of work here, so I'm really keeping it pretty basic. So a lot of questions you may have on different items, I can ask what I can, but they'll be happy to answer also. Again, the area we're talking about is this area here, the Blair Crossing. Right now, zoning is ACH, it will stay ACH, residential outside of this area. Future land use map, all do with highway commercial. A lot of stuff here, but basically what they've submitted, Lefferson has submitted for the PUD is different areas. I showed you a few graphs, but building elevations, floor plan exits, the signage for different monuments, 1 and 2 show different colors. They work with signs a lot on their NDOT, smaller signs and plaques inside buildings. A lot of times we do our zoning for ACH for one lot or one, maybe 1 or 2 subdivisions or 1 or 2 plats in this subdivision. Well, this is only really 2 lots, but there are multiple buildings in here. So they're going to need direction. There's also going to be retail a lot too. They'll be on the subject to their own signage also. What they've done, they've got illustrated site plans, they've done the paving utility plan, everything that's really much done for utility, for a developer's agreement, if they're actually doing like a big, large subdivision, they've taken into consideration for this plan unit development. Truck memorandums proposed, talk about that, tree canopy analysis, wetlands and drainage site maps. So briefly, this shows you a little bit of what they want to do for landscape. Here, parking lots surrounded by vegetation in this area here. This shows the different parking stalls. This will be retail. Back to the tree canopy, this shows what's being left in this area here, what it can have on this area. This, of course, is outside of the PUD because that is private land not involved. Here's an idea of the grading. They take into consideration how to get water down to that Outlot A, which is part of their required stormwater management program. They also have to work with the state on SWIP, something to do with, as they're doing construction, make sure that a lot of erosion doesn't fall into our sewer system or stormwater system. So now the idea what they hope it's going to look like. Signage will be restricted to the right-of-way or outside of the right-of-way. So they have 1 highway sign here, 1 over in this area. And of course, they'll have maybe monument sign, different areas in there. The PUD allows them to do that without having to do a separate contiguous or conditional use permit. So, the idea what they want to do for signage. You know, actually, that even falls within the needed area. Our AC signage does allow for separate signs on if you have both highway frontages. That's a lot of information in a really short time. I apologize for that. But I figured it's better to let you ask questions that they can answer probably better than I can. Oh, I believe the apartments going up and not all at once, different.
It'll be staggered. So it'll come on delivery every 2 months, probably okay. 2 to 3 months.
So one thing I'd emphasize too, Jeff, because you're probably not very experienced with PUDs because we haven't done very many of them, you know, and so it's a relatively newer thing for us. Larger Omaha metro area, Sarpa County areas, you know, developers use them to really fine tune exactly what they want to do. And those planning commissions grill them in detail depending upon some of those issues that they're looking at. Some are concerned with vegetation, traffic flow, internal to the development, actual layout of the buildings. All those kinds of things are fair game. So feel free. Now's a great time to really ask them specific detailed questions if you want to know just a little bit about the layout. And they should be able, but Blair doesn't have a lot of code that requires certain things to be done. As Jeff mentioned, the PUD kind of takes the place of one or multiple CUPs that we might normally require. So it gives them the opportunity to change multiple different things all at the same time.
So since they are tied then to what's in this PUD, that's what is allowed. So if they wanted to change something within this PUD, they would have to revisit it then?
Well, or they get... I would describe it as, obviously, the base zoning district always has its requirements. Yeah. So that's the standard. Then the PUD can begin to modify those a little bit, and Jeff mentioned several of those ones. Again, highway commercial does allow apartments, but with a conditional use permit. Well, this replaces the conditional use permit, because it basically, in the PUD, is telling you what the use is going to be. Obviously, we have our normal standard, which we've talked about potentially changing, for the number of parking stalls, you know, per apartment. This PUD changes that. Little other things, like Jeff had mentioned, with the signage and some other things like that. Again, because our zoning regulations are pretty minimal compared to what a lot of other communities have, we don't have, you know, tree requirements very much in, from a landscaping standpoint. I think in highway commercial, the only businesses we require any kind of landscaping is if it's an auto dealership, because we've had several of those along the highways. And even there, it only requires green space. It doesn't even specify what it's supposed to be or even trees. They just want some grass, you know, out there. So we have very, very minimal requirements compared to a lot of other municipalities. But now's a good time for you to ask about any of those issues that you might be interested in.
So are we just considering a PUD, or are we considering the details within that PUD?
It's the details in that PUD.
Okay.
Yeah. And the key ones are the ones that Jeff mentioned, that allowing the use for multifamily housing, the reduction in the number of required parking stalls. And again, really it's a reduction partly because they're specifically wanting to use the garage units that they have on site for some of those counted parking stalls. Mm-hmm. But they've also agreed to require their tenants then to sign a statement that says you're going to use it to park your vehicle and not just put your junk out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you have storage units and everybody parking outside, and that's...
Yeah, yeah. And this gives us then the ability that if we get complaints that there's problems, we can do a little bit of investigation. And then if it's one of their tenants that's not doing what they should be doing, then that's their issue to resolve, not necessarily ours, which is good, you know, from a city's perspective.
Will they be permitted parking spots then? They have to have a permit to park, like an assigned space?
We don't typically do assigned spaces for surface lots, but for garages, both attached and detached, yeah. Because they'll pay for those. And then handicap, obviously, will have the sign.
I have a question, just the PUD itself, because is this a PUD that's just created for this place, or is it, it's not a PUD that anybody can use in different spots and move it around. It's correct. Just for this area.
But the planning and development is a part of the zoning book. It was designed that way, and it's like the other overlays it's placed upon as a rezone on there.
Yeah. So it's, depending on what you mean by what you say, right? You know, overlay districts could be about anywhere. But they're very unique then when you place them someplace. Same exact thing here. So this is a unique PUD, doesn't exist anywhere else, and it's just on their footprint here. There's another PUD that's up at the former Danny College campus been placed up there, and that's a PUD that's just for that particular area. But any developer could come and ask for a PUD. So
and then they would develop all these different things they want to see in that PUD.
Correct. Correct. So I sometimes describe it as, instead of grabbing a spray can that's one color paint and you have to learn to paint with it, all of a sudden now your artist has a paint palette, and that's the PUD. And this is your palette now that you can do all kinds of things and start getting a lot more creative. Now, sorry, from an artist's perspective, I'm just doing all that. Set me straight, man. It begins to provide a lot of that variation that developers are looking for. And you go back and read the actual heading and the introductory information on PUDs, it's that whole concept of a variety of mixed uses that they can kind of mix together. But that's also the time for the Planning Commission to get creative too and start thinking, okay, tell me what kind of innovative things you're doing. And a lot of times it's, again, how the buildings are laid out, traffic flow, signage, landscaping that might be internal to things like that. All of that's fair game for you to kind of talk a little bit about with them. But yeah, it would be then once you know, unless there were any changes that you recommended and the council then required, the PUD that they presented would be, you know, the requirements that they live by, plus all that basic underlying stuff that just goes with ACH.
Okay, thank you.
Now, well, one thing the PUD does not control is the city's right-of-way. We still have control up to our subdivision regulations on the width of the street, you know, all the thickness of concrete, sidewalks, minimum 4 feet wide, 8 feet off the curb, and stuff like that. So the city's right-of-way still has to meet city specifications for their for the roads, because it is one of our, going to be one of our streets.
So since we're talking about specifics here, and one of those specifics is the arrangement of the buildings, then if that's fair game, the number of trees, is that a fair game question? Is this a realistic drawing of the amount of trees that we're having?
Any other questions for staff before it turns over?
I'm sorry. That's what
I'm
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say this is a better question for them.
Yeah, sure. So we have a comment? Okay, perfect. Yes, hi, Joe Zadina with Lampern Harrison, Z-A-D-I-N-A. To that question, I think the illustrative plan on the right is probably not as accurate. I'd rather look at the black and white plan, so like this one here, okay? This is a little bit more engineered. I'll say it as an engineer, I'm just kind of where I prefer to maybe lean, is on anything, you know, a little bit more black and white is where I'd like you to focus, because that's where we're likely going to convert these exhibits into blueprints, right? That's kind of, and so the illustrative plan is nice, and it's a nice for marketing, but like, let's look at the black and white. This is very likely what you'll see here. And so in dark and the gray are shrubs. So those could be, you know, those could be ornamental grasses, those could be sumac, those could be bushes. And then you'll see the trees either indicated, larger trees, you know, with these circles, smaller ornamental trees here, kind of groupings. You know, we want to do a nice job of providing a nice environment for the residents as well. And then, you know, kind of buffer against the highway where we can. The hatch that's probably like, you know, it's maybe harder to see, but this hatch is grass. Okay, so anywhere you see that's not paved or not dark gray or building top is going to be likely irrigated lawn. And then, like I said, the dark gray shrubs and bushes. And then a lot of times we like to throw the trees in on the islands, we throw them in on the entrances, kind of changes of direction along the path, just to kind of separate the parking nodes and trays so you don't have long lines of parking. We break them up with the trees. So this to me feels like a product that if you look at like what Matonic has done in Omaha and other communities, this is very similar. We've done a handful of them, and so we kind of continue with that same prototype, that process. And so these are the exhibits that I'd like us to kind of like reference or maybe evaluate with questions rather than the illustrative plan, because that's hard to kind of gauge.
Okay, then a follow-up question.
Yes, sir.
And your past experience and so forth, as far as trees goes, what diameter do you put in? You put in sticks or?
No, we'll probably go 2-inch diameter with watering bags or, you know, anything. We won't go like the stuff that comes in the mail from Arbor Day that looks like a 2-inch, you know, 15 trees in an envelope, but we won't do that. So, no, we'll have standards and we'll have, you know, 1 or 2-inch diameter caliper based on the tree type. But they'll be nice trees. We want them to be hardy. We want them to grow. They're an asset to the community. I will, if you don't mind me just maybe introducing just a couple of topics that sometimes also fall under PUDs that I don't think are height criteria sometimes is the way I see PUDs is instead of coming in and asking for a bunch of waivers too, you kind of identify the plan. Sometimes those are impervious coverage, which I think we're just fine here. Height, we're not going to exceed height and setbacks, you know, we're meeting setbacks. So those weren't mentioned here because those fall under the permitted zoning ordinance. And so it's not like we're asking to kind of throw away the whole base ordinance. We can meet a lot of it, but the parking, as you meant, as it was shared with you with your home housing study, is sometimes a challenge. And then the signage, just due to the use type, and then just needing it for multifamily and the zoning. So, but there are a lot of the zoning criteria that we are meeting. So,
I have a question on the parking.
Yes, sir.
We brought that up. In the ones you've done in the past, how does the parking
work out with those with the 1.7 or whatever it is that you're going to be using for stalls per unit?
Pretty good, because of the coming and going, the different hours that, and a lot of times the different hours that the peak users are seeing. So I don't like to go much lower than a 1-to-1 on past other projects where you have a combination of on-street parking and surface parking. When we consider the 40 garage stalls, both attached and detached, we're at 1.89. So we're real close to 2-to-1. So we're not asking for like a huge deviation from the requirement. I'd even be comfortable at a 1.5-to-1, I think is maybe a quantity we were talking about before, but we're still gonna be above that. So I would anticipate that we're, and this is without compact stalls, like these are standard stalls, comfortable stalls, 9x18 stalls. And so we've seen more, as low as 1-to-1 work, but here we're, I know, considering the garages, we're at 1.89, so close to 2, and if we can get the occupants to agree that they're not storing their stuff in their garages, we're almost hitting the mark. So I'm hopeful that it'll work.
So some of those are garages?
Yeah, so you've got a detached garage here. Let's see here. Here. And then when you see these under, they're garage unders, and so you'll see some of those. Yep. Here. And here, you'll have garage under, and then the separate 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
Is that right, Kayla?
Yeah, there's
that.
Would you say about half the units have? Would you say half of the units would have apartments, or half the apartments would have garages?
Yeah. So this one does not. Okay, because you can see there's parking all around the perimeter, likely as well here. And so you'll have garages along this side, and you'll have garages along that side. So not even half, probably less than that. So if we have 132 units, attached garages, I believe we have around 20. Around 20,
then
so that'd be about 15%. Detached, we have what, 24, you say?
24, yeah.
24 of the 132 units, so you know, 15%.
Kind of 3-to-1 there.
We like about 30-40%. That's where we find rents. Otherwise, they sit in D because we'd love to pay for them.
Yeah, okay.
And we do have 57 studio and one beds too. And so those need less parking stalls than 2 and 3 bedroom units. Yeah.
As far as the retail space goes, do you have any idea of what you're anticipating going in there?
We don't have any interest in it yet. We'll put it out to market and see what comes. But it feels like it would be a good spot for like a drive-through coffee shop or some restaurant, something like that would fit well there.
I guess my question along with that is, like, since we're talking about parking, how does that affect like what appears to be a parking lot right across from that retail space?
Oh,
is that included with your numbers?
Yeah, so we have 8,400 square feet of commercial. So divided by 200, we have 42 stalls. And so all the stalls within lot 2 are, and so here's kind of the edge of lot 2, right here, and around. So all the parking in here accommodates this 8,400 square feet of commercial.
So not included in there.
Not included in the numbers for the units.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry. I answered that. Yes, correct. Those are not part.
Gotcha.
Yes, they're separate and exclusive to lot 2 for commercial. Yeah, good question.
I have a question or comment of staff. when you looked at the PUD, there was a lot of different things there that you put included in this PUD. It seems like maybe because I'm kind of new to the thing, it's kind of fast trying to look all those over and see what they say and what they're going to be doing with that PUD. I wish I'd had a little more time to understand what they're all trying to do with that PUD.
Right, and it can still be a work in progress. We need to go through some other stuff, but the basic overview you received tonight was basically what I think is pretty much going to stay. And again, the changes were in the ACH and multifamily. As Joe said, I did not include all of the setbacks in this and that because they meet the ACH setbacks already.
So if we don't get the PUD passed with the final plat, it probably can't start really doing stuff until the PUD gets okayed, right?
I'm not aware of their time schedule on this. Unless we're sitting tonight.
We passed the final plat.
Yeah.
Now we've got to worry about the PUD.
Correct. And I think any developer will tell you that they have kind of their own internal time schedule on what they're trying to get accomplished. And if they don't know that they can actually do what they want to be able to do and have design, then they can't go forward, you know. I guess the thing I would stress to you is, and again, I fully understand your issue. We don't have design standards, though, so we don't really have anything that we would require. So back to my palette illustration, now you're the young kid with a color palette, and it's like, hey, this is fun. You know, I can make a lot of things, but we don't require a lot. You know, Joe was exactly right. They automatically met most of what would be required when it came to ACH. They could have just come and said, well, here's my CUP, a conditional use permit, to allow multifamily housing on this lot. You would have probably asked some of the same questions about, you know, trees and foliage and some things like that. But there's a lot of other stuff that's included simply because a lot of it's automatically required, stormwater management plans, those kinds of issues, yeah, that are included. Without a lot of design standards. Now, someday in the future, maybe if we expand the kind of minimal standards that we have for development, we may end up setting up requirements that it's 2 months out before you can get your PUD approved to allow the Planning Commission enough time to kind of work through all those details. But I guess I would simply say, I think coming from the developer's heart, you know, they have a time frame, they need to keep moving forward. This got delayed a little bit already for some of the other things. There's one more piece to this puzzle that you haven't seen yet, which is a TIF application, and that'll be coming in November. But that's really cutting them short for being able to then move forward in the spring and getting it closed and ready to go. So.
Can we go back and review some of this a little bit through the stuff that's in this PUD?
And review
just some of the items that are in there. I mean, we blew through that pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that, Daryl, if that.
Sure.
No, I'm not sure.
If you need that review, just ask questions. Sure.
You know, yeah, if we could kind of go through that list again. I mean, we can't see that on our packet.
Yeah, Jeff can walk back through it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, staff's available. They would be available, you know, email wise if you had follow up questions on certain things. Again, I'm just stressing too that we really don't have a lot of requirements in certain areas. And so we've tended to defer a lot to good developers, and that's why I'm really excited. It's great to have somebody who comes with high standards, and they're going to implement those high standards automatically, you know, in our community, as opposed to somebody who wants to do something minimal, and we're constantly pushing them to, well, do more. Couldn't you plant a couple more trees? I mean, you know what it's been like at times where we've, you know, forced, you know, developers that, no, you need to have at least one tree every 10 feet, and, you know, right. Here in this kind of situation, you don't have that kind of requirement.
So they kind of have to follow, this is the plan, and can they modify it after we pass PUD? Can they change stuff on here then?
No, because this is the plan that they've submitted to us. So I like his point. Let's go back to the engineered design plan. That's what they're presenting as the PUD. That's what we're going to expect them to do.
Yeah.
Now, again, they're not necessarily identifying which tree is a tree versus a bush or some other piece of foliage, you know. But we wouldn't look at this and then say, now they don't have to do anything except just grass. I guess they chose not to.
I guess what I'm saying, I don't really think, I don't need to go through the whole thing. I kind of would have liked to have reviewed it earlier and get an idea what's all there. But I'm sure that it sounds, you know, sounds good. But and not having seen everything, I kind of, that's the only thing that bothers me. I should have actually paid more attention. You probably sent it to the package and I didn't pay a lot of attention to what it meant.
Yeah. So, and again, we're relatively new with this kind of.
That wasn't in the packet, though, was it?
No, it was not. And I've got a thumb drive of a whole bunch of stuff. Like we're still going through. We scanned it for the major things, which was anything that was outside of the normal zoning for us. We're still going to need to go look through this, and there may be some tweaks. But yes, I can send all kinds of stuff to you guys. Should have a big monitor or at least a good way to zoom in because there's a lot of information here.
Yeah.
Stormwater management plans that have been part of this, the traffic study, all this.
I kind of think probably what they're doing is better than what it would have been. It's not, I don't think they're trying to do something tricky on us. So I'm just concerned. I got to know more about the PUDs before we get voting on these things next time we have it.
Next time, yes.
I know we did the Dana Hill thing, but I was probably a novice on this thing at that time, so I really didn't know much about what it meant.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking more about
this
it.
This is probably a learning curve for all of us. In fact, the next time Lactus comes in, we will need probably a little more time.
Yeah, and we'll try. I think that, I guess my advice to you, though, as the Planning Commission, is really focus in on the changes that they want to make from what would be standard with the base district. And that is, again, instead of having a separate CUP, they're just simply including it in the PUD here for multifamily housing, the minor adjustment in the number of parking stalls, and like Jeff said, maybe a little bit more signage internal. But again, we rarely have a larger development like this with multiple buildings, and so that just kind of makes sense on what they're wanting to do signage-wise. The rest, in many ways, we don't address at all in any of our zoning stuff. We wouldn't require it. It's great to see when a developer comes and wants to do those things.
Yeah.
I think it's so like above and beyond what we're requiring, and it's honestly fantastic for us as a community. So I know Metonix, they do a great job. I know some people that work there, so I think it'll be great. So yeah.
Any more comments from that? Well, did I close the public meeting?
No, not yet.
Does anyone have want to speak on this? Then I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission wants to do.
I'll make a motion to approve the PUD application as submitted.
I'll second it.
You second? No. Oh, okay. Motion by Huber, second by Schroeder to approve the PUD as presented. Is there any more discussion or amendments? Seeing none, let's please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Again, that will go October 22nd to the City Council. Report from staff.
The online Nebraska Public Zoning October 11th is that online workshop. Everybody has been signed up. You'll get an invite. You can stay for one online or none or all kinds you want. We paid one flat fee for all Planning Commission members, several other members. So if you don't see anything you like and don't want to take the time to sign, see things you want. Yeah, just log in.
Turn off all cell phones, please, Ms. Mayor.
So, if you've seen some emails today from NPCA, that's what it's all about. So.
Okay. One other thing I'd like to add to, just to kind of keep all of you in the loop. You know, I don't know what kind of things maybe you've heard on the street regarding the Hollow Road bypass, but you know, it, from our perspective, it looks like it's getting used a lot. I don't know, for those of you who work along Washington Street, you notice much of a difference. You know, I've heard anecdotally from some.
No, there's still a lot of truck traffic.
There still is a lot.
So. I'm not gonna lie, it is. But
yeah.
It's really
and
nice
I didn't
leaving.
Think that would ever take
now
much
that I
away
use that
from
road.
Well, and that's exactly so what I just wanted to mention to all of you, so that you kind of know what we're doing staff-wise. You know, the mayor asked a very profound question after the bypass got opened, because we kept talking about, well, you know, hopefully this will remove 20-30% of the truck traffic, but the rest of it, you know, will only be when we get that north bypass done 10, 20, 30 years from now. She asked the profound question, why? I mean, why can't we talk to the state now about having the highways actually relocated?
Yeah.
And we looked into it, and it's like, well, I suppose there's really not a reason why. So we did some checking with them, and sure enough, they said, put a map together and have the council pass a resolution that is requesting that the highways be modified. They even came back to us then, and they'll be doing this over the coming few weeks. They'll be putting up some signs that talk about alternate truck route. And so you'll see some signs that kind of emphasize moving everything in that direction, even including when you're coming southbound on Highway 75 and you head towards Washington Street, which normally then would turn left and go downtown. It'll say alternate truck route straight ahead to stay on 19th Street all the way down to the bypass, up and over the bypass, and then obviously take right and you're still on 75. So we're moving in that direction, and I feel pretty excited that I think hopefully This is something that the state might be willing to work with us on, and so therefore that could happen. And as you know, if we can get to the point where the highways are relocated, then we can update our truck route and basically say no through trucks through that six block area of the downtown, start making some design changes for the downtown area, and that is a huge, huge game changer for us. Yeah.
So you're saying as they come in from Iowa now, you're going to have something when you get to, what is it, 13th Street, where they will say turn left? Because I feel like they don't know to turn.
Correct.
You know, because it's so new to them.
So so the state will set some signs
That'll be great.
That say alternate highway 30 to go south on 13th Street instead of going through the downtown area.
Yeah, because my wife's followed trucks already that went right on by the bypass on 30, and then made a right on Washington Street.
Correct. And right now, we can't
they don't,
stop
there's
them.
No sign there telling people what to do.
We can't stop them from doing that because it's technically the highway.
Well, it's a lot of truckers probably don't know anything about it. They don't live close to us.
Right.
People are coming from a long way away.
I will tell you, the business community has been great. Dollar General, Cargill, Lionel Richie, others, have basically told all of their drivers, we want you to take that route. But independent, farmers and the guys bringing in corn and grain and just people traveling across country. And again, part of it too is Google Maps and everything else. Once they all get kind of caught up and updated with where that route is, I think it will start showing up more and more.
Well, if you get a sign up, at least alternate truck route or something, that might help a lot.
Yeah.
So I have two questions about the bypass there. One is I've heard a number of people questioning is there intent of putting a light on the east side of it?
Yes, on the Highway 75 side.
Okay.
Yeah. And unfortunately, timing was not really good because the design was done before Dollar General came and before 10th Street was extended down to Highway 75. So they had never planned with the very, very original plan that would be a four-way intersection, not just a T intersection.
Okay.
And then back to what he had talked about earlier, the warrants kick in. And so the state had been dragging their feet saying, well, we want proof that there's enough traffic that's going to use that intersection to require the signal.
Send a state guy down there, try and get out.
Well, and our argument was the day it opens, you're going to have hopefully so many vehicles using that increases the count. But very typical for them, they want proof. They want to see it. And we don't even know exactly when they're going to start counting it because our understanding is they haven't done it yet. But hopefully soon, they did allow us to kind of modify some of the design at the very end. The traffic signals have all been designed. They allowed the poles to be ordered. So eventually the poles, once they come in, will be put up. There'll be additional street lights, that light up the street on those poles as well. They just won't let us put the mast arms up and the heads up until we've met those warrants.
Okay.
And that's all. It's all prepped, got the piping and the
correct.
The bases right there.
The bases, I don't know if the bases are all in yet, but they know where they're going to go, and everything's ready to go.
And the second question I had was, I noticed there's a takeoff about halfway up the hill, I guess to the south.
Correct.
Originally I was understood that there was not going to be any access on or off of there.
There was always planned the one location at the very top of the hill, and the very, very original plan was it was going to be a four-way intersection there. When they relocated the gas line on the north side, because the main gas line that comes into town and then feeds the bio campus is up there, that had to get relocated, but it was going to cost them a substantial more money to lower it deep enough to be able to have a road that would go towards the north. And so the decision was made at that time to abandon that idea, but still have this connection to the south.
So is it going to be a future city street then? Is that
so right? Eventually there'll be a city street. Our vision is that there would be a street that would stub off of the bypass there, potentially hit a roundabout that would be right there in that general area. And then one leg of that roundabout goes over to Kelly Drive, which right now comes up and hits a temporary cul-de-sac, but eventually that would tie into that. You'd have another street that would continue on straight south that would have connectivity to the parcels south. And then one leg that would probably head off back towards the east, which is where Andreessen's property is and all that, everything that would be paralleling. Because more than likely there'll be a parallel road or some development that's going to be in that general area. But though that's the only place that you'd be able to get off the bypass.
Is that future land mapped into commercial type stuff, or?
You'll see several things coming to you in the coming months.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. In fact, one of the things is, and I didn't even realize this until we got ready to open it up, the main bypass road itself is not in the city limits. Both ends are, so obviously the Highway 30 side and the Highway 75 side, so the officers were like, you realize our guys can't patrol that, right? Because it's not in the city limits.
Yes!
Like, okay, well, good to know. Nobody's patrolling it. So we're in the process of trying to remedy several of those things.
I would say I use that quite a bit going from my business over to that side of town. It's great, and I see a lot of trucks up.
Yeah.
So much so that it almost becomes cumbersome to get through there, so I'll probably head back the other way.
And we've started talking to OPPD about street lighting on Highway 75 heading south. Again, you remember we did the big annexation for all that parcel all the way down to the Cargill entrance. I don't know if we'll go all that way right now with all the lighting, but we'll definitely take it partway down that way, as well as the developments we've seen here at the roundabout, both on 133 and Highway 30. So we're talking to OPPD about putting out a lighting plan and then getting some street lighting out there. Will make a lot of difference to be able to see the street and just feel a little bit safer with this increased traffic flow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm ready for a motion to...
Make a motion, adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Schroeder, second by Pounds to adjourn. Please vote.
If we can vote against that, or?
Yes, I am.
You do that, Jeff.
Did I get the wrong person? No.
Poof, gone.
Did something not work?
You got it. I got it.
Mine worked.
I don't have it. Mine came up on mine. Joe's the only one that said no.
All in favor of leaving, say aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Joe wants to.